If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Outdoor Class. Outdoor Class is an online video platform geared towards making you a better hunter. Watch instructional videos taught by hunting experts like Remy Warren, Randy Newberg, and Corey Jacobson. After the hunt, learn how to prepare your harvest from world-class wild game chefs like Hank Shaw and Jamie Tajan. Whether it's your first year hunting or you grew up doing it, Outdoor Class will take your skills up a notch. Use code EMPIRE20 at checkout to save 20% off. Visit OutdoorClass.com to learn more.
Go Wild is a free social community created for and by hunters. This means that unlike mainstream social media, your trophy pictures won't be censored. They're encouraged. As you spend time on Go Wild, you will earn awesome rewards such as gift cards, free swag, and big discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex. You will even earn $10 just for signing up. Visit downloadgowild.com and sign up today. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're going to be talking about products that aren't necessarily sexy, but actually have a huge impact in the tree stand, and that is hunting accessories like screw-in steps, screw-in bow hooks, bow ropes, products that nobody really talks about. They're often overlooked, but go and try hunting without them and tell me how you like it. And so that's what the conversation is today. We're going to be talking with the host of the How to Hunt Deer podcast and the Wisconsin Sportsman podcast. He was on last week as well, Josh Raley. Josh is an avid hunter as well. And so it's a really good conversation about products that aren't cool, but necessary. And so that's what the podcast is about today. Before we get into the episode, though, if you're looking for a saddle, go check out Tethered. Not only does Tethered have a very good selection of climbing sticks, platforms, saddle accessories, but they also have a YouTube channel and on their website where you can actually go in and learn how to properly use all of that equipment that they sell. And so it just they've not only dedicated to making a good product, but dedicated themselves to making the knowledge base available to make other people good at it as well. So go check out Tethered. Next, it's a product that I use, I'm going to say, if not every day, for sure every other day, and that's Hunt Stand. Hunt Stand is a hunting app, a map-based hunting app that you can really dissect a piece of property. You can do your e-scouting, whether it's next door or whether it's 100, 200, 300, 400, in some scenarios, like 900 miles away. You can pull up Hunt Stand and you can scout and you can check out the terrain features. It has really good satellite imagery, which allows you to really zoom in. You can even, in some of the properties that I hunt, you can even zoom in on the actual trail that the deer are using. And so not only the mapping aspect of it, the hunting strategy aspect of it, but just the documentation and the journaling of everything that you see throughout the year. Hunt Stand has so much functionality. So what I'm going to tell you to do is go to huntstand.com and check out all the functionality. Check out how it was designed, why it's designed, how you can use it. Again, just like Tethered, Hunt Stand has a lot of information, literature, videos on how to properly use their product. And so go check it out, huntstand.com. And then last but not least, if you are the kind of guy who likes to film your hunts, go check out the new Tacticam 6.0 version. It has image stabilization, it has an LCD screen, and it's just a better version than everything that they've put out in the past. And so what you have here is a company that keeps improving and keeps improving and keeps improving. And so whether you're looking to mount it on a gun or whether you're looking to mount it on your bow, they have even have stuff for fishing as well. So go check out Tacticam's website. These guys are putting out some really, really cool cameras that if you're into self-filming, why not? Or if you're into filming your kids, go get this. It's a badass product. So that's Tacticam. Go check their website out. And now I think we can just jump right into today's important hunting accessory podcast with Josh Raley. 3, 2, 1. All right. Welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. And today we are joined once again by Josh Raley. Josh, my man, how we doing?
What's up, buddy? Doing pretty good. Coming off of a long weekend of hunting in Wisconsin and a productive weekend. And man, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm sleep deprived. I think I slept a total of like 16 hours in 4 days. And but I'm all right, man. I'm doing good.
Those are newborn baby hours.
Dude, it's been a long time and I realize I'm too old for this. Like I'm too old for this at this point.
Okay, so just to let everybody know, okay, Josh, you live in Georgia now, but you drove to Wisconsin to hunt. Were you on the road more hours in that quick trip than you did spend hunting?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I was on the road a total of probably 30 hours.
Man, that's crazy. I've only had to do that a couple times. Back in the day, I think it was 2001. I was in college, so I was young and stupid and didn't get tired back then. But from Iowa to Miami, Florida, we drove for a football game. And so we drove through the night. I believe it was like 19 hours or something like that. And that was gnarly. But man, I can't really do that anymore unless I get good sleep the night before. And especially after like you were probably hunting, so you were probably in zombie mode driving down the interstate.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude, I slept for the night before I drove back home. I slept for 3 hours that night. got up at 3 a.m, packed up my camper, my pop-up camper that I've got, drove an hour west to hunt in Blue Mounds, Wisconsin, and then drove all the way back home as soon as I was done hunting that day. Made it back home around 6:30 that morning.
So you were pulling something too, so it wasn't like you were you could haul ass down the interstate, right?
No, dude, it's a smooth 70, 75 all the way. I mean, I couldn't get a lot of movement.
Man, I'll tell you this. When I went to Nebraska this year, I had an east wind going out and a west wind coming back, and it was money. Man, I was like setting the cruise on 85, and I was just then I hardly used any gas, and it was awesome. So nice. I got lucky there. But now, when I head to South Dakota next week, I'll be like 25 mile an hour head on winds, and I'm going to go through gas like nothing.
Yeah, man, you need to try the drive through the night thing. It was an eye opening experience to do it twice over a weekend. A long weekend. And yeah, man, give it a shot. See how you do.
No, dude, I don't like that. I don't want that. That's like saying, hey, dude, you know, stab yourself with a knife. No, nobody wants to do that. Hey,
you should try that too, man. While you're at it, just give it a shot. See what happens.
All right. So the last time we talked, right, we talked about e-bikes. We talked about, I think, cell cams, other type of, I think, technology type products. And while we were recording, like right before this, me and you recorded a How to Hunt Deer podcast. And here's the, let's see here. I bought an e-bike today. Bought an e-bike. We talked about it and it just hyped me up enough to go and get one. I'll be able to use it doing so many things, but obviously for hunting. And so there's a potential it actually ships out today. So dude, I might have it by Monday or something of next week, right before I leave for South Dakota, which is going to open up so many doors for me. And I'm pretty excited about that.
Man, that's awesome. I've got to know, did you sell the e-bike as like, hun, can you imagine how often we'll use this e-bike? Like, won't this be great to haul the kids around and do all that fun stuff? Or was this just a straight up hunting tool?
This is, there wasn't really a conversation with my wife about it. Ah. I told her I was looking at one and she's like, oh, okay. Didn't really ask too much questions about it. The best thing about what I get to do is this is a write-off. So it I get to write it off. I get to take advantage of the tax system because I'm using it for my job here, you know, for the podcast and whatnot. And so this is going to sound like I'm lucky, right? I have a lot of contacts in the hunting industry throughout the years. So I got a really good discount on the e-bike because I knew one of the guys. And so, he helped me out with a good discount. It made it much more affordable and, much easier to pull the trigger on than if it was full retail price.
Yeah. So when are you getting the fleet for the Sportsman's Empire?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question. That's a great question. let's just say I'm working on it.
Okay. All right. We will wait patiently and I'll only text you like once a month or so until it gets here.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Empire, I tell you what, let's just start off with, more full disclosure type stuff. One of the network partners is Outdoor Edge. And so, they gave me a whole bunch of knife kits. And so it like anything from gutting to caping to butchering the deer meat. So my goal is I've been slacking, but that we're going to start off with that first. I got like 13 or 16 of them or something like that. And so including yourself, I know you'd probably rather have an e-bike, but I think a knife set's going to have to do for right now.
Hey, I'll take it, man. I love Outdoor Edge. I use one of their replaceable blade knives and, man, that thing is fantastic. And the only thing that I've run into with it is I have to buy a new one every year because I lose it every year. And the best way to find my old knives I've found is to buy a new one, and then they all just show up.
Exactly.
So
exactly. That's me. That's like me with sunglasses. And so I bought, this was like 2 years ago, I bought a fairly high-end pair of sunglasses. And so I set them down on the end table next to the couch. My youngest son, 2 years old at the time, grabs them and just banana peeled them and broke them right in half. And I said to myself, that is the last time I ever buy an expensive pair of sunglasses. And now all of them are $5 gas station, sunglasses. And so that's what I have. So in something similar to that, I'm just happy that he's old enough and he's out of the complete destruction age.
Oh man. Well, my kids are older than that, and they are not out of that stage yet. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right. Right. All right. So, it's for the most part going to be another BS session about gear today, but I kind of want to talk about accessories, right? You brought up a good point. So at the end, we may touch on knives, but I want to talk about all of the accessories that we kind of use, not necessarily on our bow hunting equipment or on our guns and things like that. Like I'm talking about the basics. I'm talking about rope, like rope for pulling up your bow or gun. I want to talk about maybe tape. Do you use some kind of silencing tape, or do you use like what kind of screw-in hooks you use while you're in the tree stand, things like that. So I'm gonna kick the first question off your way, and I'll answer as well. Just from a high level, what's your take? How do you use what kind of bow hunting accessories do you use throughout the year?
Yeah, man, there was a time when, like, I put zero thought into those mm-hmm. smaller accessories.
Same.
As I transitioned, into almost exclusively hunting public land, all of a sudden gear becomes a lot more important, right? Because what I can do to a tree is very limited. I also, though, made the transition into saddle hunting. And what that has caused is... this thing in me where I'm like, man, I've got to use the best equipment, and I need to be super dialed in to be as light as possible and to be as functional as possible. So with putting more intentionality, I can no longer just run to Walmart and grab whatever accessories they had on the shelf. And so I wanted to be a lot more careful. One of the first things that has been huge for me is finding a good gear strap for when you're in your tree. So you can hang all of your stuff, and finding something to hang your bow on that's not either going to hang on to your bow too much. Cause man, I've had it in that moment of truth. You go to lift your bow off the bow hanger and the thing makes a noise, or it holds onto your bow a little more than you would like it to, or you can't get your bow off of it in time. And I've gotten busted like that. So the first thing was a good gear strap. There's a couple that are out there that are really good. I'm currently using the Tethered gear strap right now. It's like this long daisy chain of webbing that wraps around the tree. You can get it super tight down to there, and it's got this molly looping all the way around where you can hang as much as you want to on it. I've been looking real close lately, though, at the Latitude Outdoors. Has a similar strap with a little bit more, I guess you'd say, function to it. There's a strap that comes down for your bag where you can lower and raise your backpack while you're using the strap, and you don't even have to take it off the strap. You can just raise and lower it with this little sliding buckle thing.
Yep.
And then also a huge part of that is a hero clip that I'm using to hold my bow. That has gone a long way. One, of giving me a secure place to hang my bow, but also it doesn't hold on to it too much, so I can just lift my bow right off of it. It likes to let go real easy, and super, super functional from that perspective. And I also try to keep a couple of those little screw-in hooks in my pack. One, because I'm going to leave one every single time I leave the tree, just because I forget it every time. And, you know, I like to have a couple of them because you never know when you need an extra hand.
Yeah. I don't have any experience on the gear strap You know what? I think I might actually have one in my pile of unopened gear in front of me, but I'm more of a screw-in guy. I don't hunt as much private as you do, so I don't need to really worry about that. I can screw in something to the tree if I need to.
Sure.
But I really love the stability that a screw-in step, like whether not a step, but sometimes I use a screw-in step to hang my backpack on, or, you know, most of them are just the little screw-in hooks, or I only have a couple of them. I think I bought three at one point, but they're, I don't know, it's a Realtree brand, but it's a folding bow hanger with some other little under hooks underneath of it that you can hang like a grunt tube or your rattling antlers or things like that, or anything underneath of it. And then your bow kind of sticks out from the tree, maybe 2 foot or something like that, you know,
yep,
a foot and a half, 2 foot. And then you can take it out, fold it down and take it with you the next time. But, and that one is fairly high quality. That particular, that bow holder is high quality. And the what I mean by high quality is the ease of screwing it into the tree. There are some brands of screw-in steps and screw-in hooks and bow holders that, I mean, I don't know if you've been in this situation, but you're putting all of your body weight to try to get it started. And instead of screwing in, it almost acts like a drill. And it's just moving the tree out, and then it's hard to get started. And so one thing that I've learned throughout the years is to pay, like, I'm paying more money on higher quality screw in steps because I want that steel or whatever the product is made out of to really catch and grab the tree. And usually those products are a little bit more expensive than and you can tell because I have a whole drawer full of bent screw-in bow holders that I have pushed and they've bent and they're just weak. And then there's another brand, man, I don't even know what it's called. I can't see it right now, but I started purchasing some different screw-in steps. I think it's a Hunting Made Easy brand potentially. I'm not 100% sure, but those catch right away and it just boom, screw them in. And even in hardwood trees, it's much easier. And so I don't need to really worry about that anymore. And so I'm under the impression that in the accessory game like that, price reflects quality. And yeah, Nobody in the dark, or whether you're in the dark or you're, you know, it's hot out, nobody wants to sit there and be forcing a screw-in step in and just wishing it would go, and you're starting to sweat and you got to put all your body weight behind it while you're in a tree stand, and it just sucks. So I've learned to, if I'm going to be spending money on something, I'm definitely spending money on those three particular products.
Yeah, man, the sharpness of that tip is huge when you're looking
huge
at that. I mean, it's, you can't overestimate it. And like you said, you know, when you get into some of those hardwood trees or something, it's like, dude, this thing's never going in. Now,
right,
that brand that you mentioned, are they the ones that make the little turkey foot too? It's like, it looks almost like a traditional screw in, but it's got a main hook that comes out a little bit longer, maybe 8 inches,
yeah,
and then two off to the side. Do they make that one?
I don't know if they make that one or not. I wouldn't be surprised if they do, but my experience with those is junk, that they're junk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I've always had a hard time screwing that particular style in to the tree. Maybe it not necessarily that design, but whoever or however they're made is a lower quality. And so it's harder to get it into the tree. And so I just don't screw around with them. I keep it simple. I keep the regular bow hooks. If I'm not using an actual bow hanger that folds, some of those Realtree ones, I'm using another little, an inch and a half, or it's like 2 inches, 2.5 inches hook, and then just hanging my bow right from that. And I don't have any issues with it.
Yeah, man, you should give a gear strap a try this year. You know,
okay,
give one of those a shot. They're really really handy. And even if you're not on, you know, public where you have to use one, it can save you a lot of that time, you know, trying to mess around with a gear hook, especially if you're hanging multiple. Are you using just one, or do you use multiple on the tree to hang like your pack off one and your bow off another? Yep.
So let's say I put my platform on for my saddle or my tree stand. I have one hook at the base of that. It's where I would sit. Now, see, this is where it gets tricky, because I'm going to start saddle hunting this year. And if I need to reach into my pack for something, I could sit down on my tree stand and reach into it. But if I'm on a saddle, then I have to have it up further, and I don't want it to get into the way of my shot, you know, my shot.
Yep.
Potentially.
Yep.
So I'm going to still have to have it maybe on the backside of the tree, or, you know, somewhere where I am, it's out of the way. And so that strap sounds like a great idea, for the saddle game, but for the tree stand game, where I can just like reach behind me or off to the side a little bit, and it wouldn't be in my shooting, you know, shooting way. Long story short, I use two. I use one for my pack and one for my bow.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. And so usually my grunt tube hangs off the bow one, or it's in my pocket if I ever use it, or my rattling antlers. If I bring those are down by my pack, because I'm using those less. So that's kind of how I hang those. When you hang your strap, that utility strap, is that like waist level? Is it up above your head? Where is it at?
Yeah. So because I'm saddle hunting, I hang it up above my tether.
Okay.
Right. So I just make sure that it's high enough to be above my tether, basically where you would want your bow hook at, because my bow hook clips right into the strap, and I hang my bow directly off of that. And then it's got a tail that comes down, and I hook the pack that I'm using on that tail that sort of flows, you know, the extra end, I hang that. So I can adjust it. I can move it up or down, you know, clip it into whatever loop coincides with where I want it. Sometimes I want it a little bit lower so it's out of the way. And there are other times, like the other day I was hunting and there was just a solid wall of brush to my right. I wasn't taking a shot that direction anyway, so I put my bag way up high where it was just easier for access.
I gotcha. Okay. And then so your bag is at the bottom of that tail.
Yep. I try to keep it about waist level.
Okay.
You know, the actual opening. So whatever that looks like, you know, maybe it's chest level where the actual strap is, where the bag is hooked to the strap with the top loop on my pack.
Gotcha. But,
and that way I can access it easier.
Gotcha, man. I've had to learn the hard way. Several years ago, I used to have my pack while I'm standing on my tree stand about waist level. But I had one instance where a deer came real close to the tree stand, and I missed an opportunity to shoot him because that pack got in the way.
So
since then, I mean, this was like 7 years ago, it's all been at the base. So there, it's not in the way at all. So, that's, I don't know. That just kind of, is one of those things that I'm kind of picky about or anal about when it comes to where I'm hanging stuff in the tree. I mean, I've been doing this for so long. It's the same spot every time. But now that I'm, you know, adding saddle hunting into the regimen, it's going to be a learning curve as well. And I'll find out more, you know, Thursday and Friday of this week when I go out and use it for, you know, actually hunt out of it for the first time.
Yeah. Are you full on committing for those days to the saddle, or are you going to kind of say whatever works best for the tree?
So, you know, after talking with the guys at Tethered, you know, they understand that their saddle is a tool, just like a tree stand is a tool. And so when it comes to mobile, I definitely see the benefit of a saddle. But in some of these places where I have really good, like really good rut spots that are really good travel corridors or really good bedding areas or things like that, where I know I'm just leave my tree stand up there anyway, I'll use that as a tool, right? So basically what I'm getting at is the conditions where I hunt, when I hunt, is going to determine what method I use. And it's so the saddle, I'm going to use it this weekend, but it's going to, it's going to be situational, right? So maybe tonight's a saddle, maybe tonight's a tree stand. And so I'm not going to commit to using one or the other. I'm going to say to myself, this scenario calls for this tool.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Keep it open.
Yeah, because it's a tool. I mean, it's just like, I don't want to force anything. I want to be comfortable with a shot. If I have the opportunity to sit down and relax in a tree stand and do that, or I'm going to hang from a, you know, not saying that saddles are uncomfortable or anything like that, but just, you know, sitting in hanging from a tree are two completely different things. And it's something I have to get used to. So I don't want to say, hey, I'm going all in on saddle hunting this year. I'm not going to do that because it would be a little bit ridiculous, I think. So,
yep.
Sure. So other accessories, like let's talk about, I don't know, what's another, a bow rope, for example. In the past, I have used just basically like paracord, I guess you would call it, a paracord rope. And you can get that fairly cheap at certain stores. But recently, I've kind of done the, you know, and I never used to tie any type of hook to it or a clip to it. I would just make a little knot, and then I'd pull it up, and then I'd undo the knot, and then hang the bow rope off to the side. This year, I went in and I bought official bow rope stuff, not because it works better, but I just love the fact that there is a clip attached on one side of the rope, and it makes clipping it to your bow much easier. And so I went with that again. I think it's another hunting made easy type of product. I'm looking at it right now. I just can't see the logo or the brand name.
Yeah. Is the rope any different than paracord? Like, is it a little bit thicker?
No, it's probably the same thing. And to be honest with you, I'm probably paying a premium on it because it's a hunting brand product. And so, I'm sure if I wanted to take the time to go to a hardware store, buy a hook, tie it up real tight with a really good knot, I could do that as well. But I just went for ease this time and just bought the bow rope. And then what I do, I don't know about you, but do you hang your bow rope from your platform, or do you hang it from closer to the tree?
Yeah. So I actually, when I made the switch for saddle hunting, I kind of went all in. You know, I left the tree stand behind just because the tree stands that I had at the time were heavy and bulky.
Yep.
And so I knew I wanted to make the jump totally. So I actually hang the bow rope, the pull-up rope, is attached to my saddle on the way up.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So okay. I'm actually climbing with it clipped on to my saddle, kind of behind me. That way it's out of the way for the climb. And then once I get up there, I can reach around and unclip it from my saddle.
Okay. So your whole bow is attached to your saddle as you make it up, or your bow rope is attached to your saddle?
Yeah, the bow rope is attached. And okay. I lay my bow kind of on the ground on a, you know, a jacket or a pack or whatever else I've left on the ground as well to make the climb.
Gotcha. Okay. And then, after you unclip it, you pull your bow up, then do you just like wad up the bow rope and put it in a pocket or something?
You know, I did that for a long time, and about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, I committed to, like, as soon as I get in the tree and I pull everything up and we're good to go, I'm going to wind that thing up in a way where it's not going to tangle, because I got sick and tired of, you know, trying to get out of a tree or trying to get into a tree from, you know, from a previous hunt and finding this thing just in a wad all matted and tangled up.
Right.
If that makes sense. So what I do is I loop it over my thumb and my pinky, and then I just kind of figure eight it between the two.
Yep.
To keep it kind of compact, and then wrap the last little bit of it around it, tie it down, cinch it real nice. That way it's ready to go next time I am.
Gotcha. Here's an embarrassing story. I went on a morning hunt one time, clipped my bow rope to my bow on one of the cams, and then I set it in the tree, and then I sat down and clipped in my safety harness, and then I said to myself, you know what, I feel like shooting a doe today. And so a doe group came through. Oh, they're in a shooting lane. I grabbed the bow, I drew back, and I heard a clink, but nothing, you know, I just thought it was something else. And my bow rope was still attached to the cam. And so my dumbass fired it, shanked the shot completely, didn't hit a deer, but luckily the bow was okay. And so I was like, oh my God, if that was a big buck or something like that, I probably would have just jumped straight out of the tree.
Dude, not to mention if that rope or that little metal clip would have gotten wrapped up in your bowstring as your cams, you know, rolled over, dude, that could have been freaking real bad.
Could have been gnarly, yeah, for sure. So, so I've had to, I always like make it a point to make sure I'm like, I just take these extra little steps to make sure that, okay, I'm clipped in, and then I draw back and make sure everything's, you know, right. So when the moment of truth comes, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, for sure. Man, one last thing on the bow rope thing.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I switched over from the paracord to a little bit of a thicker rope. Now it's a little bit more bulky. It's a little bit more material to have to deal with, but it doesn't tangle nearly as bad. And when I'm pulling up, you know, camera gear and stuff that gets pretty heavy, it doesn't feel like it's going to cut my fingers off while I'm pulling the stuff up the tree.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. Because I think we've all kind of been there where you're pulling something up a tree or you're sliding your bow down and maybe you don't have gloves on and you get the rope burns on the creases of your finger. Yeah. I've been there before. That's funny that you brought that up. So, all right. Next, any other accessories outside of the bow rope or bow, like screw in, hooks that, you think are a positive or a negative?
Yeah, man, I think, I don't know if this is kind of like in the vein of accessories you're talking about, but two things that go with me most of the time. One is a headlamp, right? Like a good quality headlamp that's adjustable. And the second is my thermocell. I mean, hunting in the South, like I really, really don't like swatting mosquitoes the whole time I'm in a stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Thermocell is a great one. I've never bought one. The reason being, I don't hunt the South and I don't necessarily hunt a lot of mid, like early October timeframe where they're at. And this year it's really dry, so there's not a lot of mosquitoes anyway. But I have hunted a couple times in this early October timeframe where, man, I just got destroyed. And so I definitely see the benefit of it. But I don't hunt. You know, usually it frosts by now or by mid-October, and therefore I have all these, you know, I don't need to worry about it anymore. But I can definitely see the use for someone in the South or in very wet conditions, the benefits of a thermocell. Now, headlamps. This is another product where I used to, at the beginning of the season, go buy a $3 headlamp from Walmart. And every year there'd be some issues with it. A clip would break on it. The elastic would get stretched out. And so it was at the beginning of last year, I believe, I upgraded to, I think, are they a Black Diamond?
Yep. That's what I use. Yep.
Yeah. Black Diamond. So it's a hardcore. I mean, it was like $70 or something like that, maybe even a little more. And it's really good. It burns through batteries a little bit faster than a normal headlamp, but it's rock solid. It can take a beating. It's high quality material. And then I put lithium batteries in it and, I can get a lot of usage out of it.
Yeah, man. I swapped over to those as well. I used to go buy the same thing, just as cheap of a headlamp as I can. And then I find myself, you know, holding the headlamp because the elastic is stretched out so bad.
Exactly.
I can't use it anymore. And it's like, why am I even bothering with a headlamp at this point? It's just a tiny flashlight that I carry in.
Right.
I grabbed a black diamond, and it's really good. And it's got the red light. It's got the green light. It's got adjustable white light. It's really good.
Yep. Or some of the times before where I didn't even use. I don't know if you can remember the days back in the day where when you were just starting hunting, I didn't even use a headlamp. I was using like little flashlights, and using flashlights or at the dawn of having lights on your cell cams on your cell phones, I would be using my cell phone to walk out of the woods. So it's actually been quite recently that I've even started using headlamps, like head based lights. So it's, 1 year, I at a garage sale, it was at the end of a garage sale, and this guy was trying to get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. And his wife was like, "Is there anything here you want?" I'm like, "No, I don't think so. What's this?" And it was a coon hunting light. So it was gigantic. It had a big old battery pack belt, and then it had like a holding spotlight, that you could put on a handle or on like a hard hat type scenario. And I wore that for half a season, and it was too bright. Like I was lighting up the entire woods walking into the stand, and it was overkill. But I shot a doe, and I put that on and was tracking it, and it was easy to find her with that. But at that time, it was so bright that when you look down at the ground, the light just washes everything out. It was so bright.
Yeah, yep, yeah. For sure.
And it was like 10 pounds with all the big batteries that were around the waist belt. It was ridiculous. Like people were making fun of me for wearing it.
I can't see why, Dan. I don't know why. I don't understand that. I don't know why people would be making fun of you for it.
Back in the day when I didn't make good decisions.
Yeah, man.
So, I don't know why this popped into my head. Are you a hand warmer guy, or do you wear the sticky hand warming type? The hand warmer, foot warmer, body warmer. You know, you open the package, you ruffle them up, and shake them in your hands, and then they start to heat up. Do you use those things?
Man, yes, I do, but I don't use the hand warmers or the foot warmers. So I use the ones that you stick like on your lower back. Or something like that, or you stick them on the outside of your base layer to kind of add a little bit. But I'm weird, man. If I put any kind of warmer in my gloves or in my little kangaroo pouch out in front of me or something like that, my hands just start sweating like crazy, and I don't really get cold hands, but I will personally get cold. So I love having those little stick on packs that are underneath your outer layers, but stuck to the outside of your base layers.
Right.
You don't want to stick those things straight to your skin. It does not turn out well.
No. Yeah, man, I'll tell you this. I don't like to wear gloves. Like I will wear gloves while I'm walking to the stand and setting up my tree stand. But once I'm in the tree, I don't like to wear gloves.
Yeah.
And so I'll take them off and put them in my pocket. And so I always carry a couple hand warmers in my pocket. And then I will, the moment of truth comes, I just like, I don't like the layer of fabric between my trigger finger and my, for my release and my skin. So I like that to know that sensitivity. And so I don't usually use gloves. So I have the hand warmers in my pocket. I used to be the guy who put boot warmers in the boots, the rubber boots guy. Since then I've graduated to, and I don't say this. I feel like I say it all the time, but I can't emphasize enough how awesome Arctic Shield boot covers are. I will use my hiking boots. Like I use when I go out west, put a good, pair of wool socks on. And then right when I get into the tree, I'll throw these boot covers on. And they have been a game changer for me for staying warm. And for me and my body type, my feet control me. So if my feet get cold, then I'm done and I'm getting out of the tree. And so these boot covers have changed the game for me and have allowed me to be more comfortable and spend more time in the tree. And so I am, that's what I use now. And so like you, if it gets down to this 0 degrees, this like teens or whatever, let's say it was 2000 and I'm trying to think 2019, maybe it was, it was a very cold rut. There was a week there where it was like high of 11, lows of negative 20 in the morning. Oh. And so, yeah, it was horrible. So I was like Christmas story kid, just layered up as much as possible. And I had those stick'em body warmers all over. The boot warmers saved my life, the hand warmers. Then I was wearing gloves, I like the mask over, and it just was so cold. You're just hugging the tree, right? You're just face right into it. Who knows if things are moving by you or not. You're not even thinking about hunting. You're just thinking about staying warm. And so, those, you know, have replaced big socks and rubber boots, man.
Yeah, for sure. And what was the, I mean, I know this is the hunting gear podcast. What was the deer movement like when it was that cold? Like were the deer up and at them still like you would expect for the rut, or was it like, holy crap, nobody wants to do anything right now 'cause it's so cold?
No, man, it was good. I mean, snow came through and the temperature dropped a ton. And so the deer were actually moving really well. I was just chasing one particular buck for the most part that year. And then I hunted for 14 days in a row, and seven of them were like high of 11 or 10 for the day. And it just beat the piss out of me. And finally, a good 4-year-old came through on the 12th of October, I believe it was. It was either the 12th or the 14th. I can't remember when I started. And I smoked him, and that was the end of that.
Dude, anything to get out of that weather.
Oh, man, it was like I was changing my the caliber of deer I wanted to shoot. I mean, it was brutal. It was not fun, especially have you ever been in the cold where you're so cold that it hurts to warm up? Like when you go to put your feet under the heat in the truck, or when you get home and you're actually in like 70, you know, like the high 60s or whatever you keep your thermostat at. And it hurt my toes and fingers to warm up. And so that tells you like you're getting dangerously cold at that point.
Yeah. That's not fun. That is not fun.
Meanwhile, guys up in Canada are laughing at me because they're doing that every year.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you mean a normal November?
Yeah, you mean Tuesday for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
oh, that's good.
I'm trying to think of any other accessories that really stand out to me at this point. I think these are a lot of products that, you know, other than the boot covers, like the screw-in steps, they're really overlooked. And usually what I'll do is I bought a whole bunch of them last year. I'll probably go back for a second trip once I get into the stage of like once it starts to get close to prime time and hunting, I usually make a trip to the store and I just buy like 3 or 4 packs of screw-in steps, a couple bow ropes, and call it good for until next year.
Yeah. Now, have you ever used those retractable hoists for like a bow pull-up rope? Have you seen those?
So almost like a dog leash on a spring.
Yes.
A coil
they look a lot like that. Yep.
Yeah. No, I've never done that.
Okay. I haven't used one either, but I'm looking at them pretty hard, man. I mean, they're like 25 or 30 bucks. So it's not a 99 cent, you know, pull up rope you're going to grab from the store or whatever. But I mean, it could save some time. You know, I can see where it would save you some time, save you some hassle of like unraveling your bowstring again, but I'm just not quite sure that it's worth it
financially.
Yeah. And then you got this big dog leash thing you gotta carry around with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing, like some guys sell film. I don't do that. But I do carry an Ozonix with me, right? So I carry an ozone generator out into the woods with me. I'm a huge fan of ozone. And so I don't need to carry any more shit into the woods with me. Like I feel like right now the way the hunting industry is going, there's so much stuff that people bring into the woods with them anyway, that's the last thing I need is more weight or more, just more things, right? I got to have my trail mix. I got to have my baby carrots for long sits. And so I got to make room for those. And so like a bow rope in a hard case like that probably wouldn't make the cut.
You're a baby carrots guy.
Oh dude, I'll eat a pound of baby carrots a sit. I remember one rut I went through in probably a 10-day period, 7 pounds worth of carrots.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Seven pounds.
Do you just turn orange or like what happens when you eat that many carrots, man?
Dude, here's the thing. I'm in the tree, get hungry or get bored. I start to munch. And so I found that it's better to munch on baby carrots than it is Snickers bars or those little mini candy bars or things like that. So, I don't know. That's more of a healthy decision.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you don't get those sugar spikes and the ups and downs, right?
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And you don't feel like garbage, you know, and
yeah,
all that stuff. So
makes that tell you what, man, pizza a little easier to handle on the way home.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. You can justify it at that point.
That's right.
Well, I tell you what, Josh, man, again, really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and BS with us about some hunting accessories. Good luck, man. Hopefully the rest of October treats you well.
Yeah, good luck to you as well, brother.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.